going to think with you for a little while this morning about the topic of Thanksgiving. This week, we will celebrate a day that our society refers to as Thanksgiving. It began, supposedly at least, with an English pilgrim when local Indians brought food as a gesture of goodwill. But it wasn't until about 1863 that Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November a Thanksgiving holiday. Sometimes we sing a song titled, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Perhaps if we did count our blessings, we would be a little more apt to remember just how tremendously God has indeed blessed us. Obviously, like these early settlers, we should be grateful for our blessings, being mindful of God from whom they come, from whom all blessings flow. So think about the idea of being thankful, Thanksgiving. We're not necessarily talking about the day that has been designated by our society as a day of Thanksgiving. But obviously, we as God's people ought to be thankful at all times. As we think about this idea of Thanksgiving, I want to talk first of all about being thankful for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Obviously, if not for God's grace, we would be completely and totally lost. So, we are thankful for salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 said, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And let that one sink in for just a moment. For his unspeakable gift. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about what God has done for us, but it is of such a nature that it's hard for us to explain. It's hard for us to comprehend what God has done for us. As Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of God. And here's his reason why he's thankful for them. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We talked in our class not too long ago, a week or so ago, about predestination and foreordination. And God determined a long time ago that he would save mankind. He didn't predestine a particular individual to salvation. He didn't foreordain salvation for a specific individual, but he did predestine or predetermine or foreordain that we could be saved through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And he did this through Jesus Christ. He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. As we noted in Romans chapter 6, that God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of darkness which delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When were we made free from sin? After we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that system of teaching has been made available to us. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in verses 56 and 57, he talks about the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But then in verse 57, he said, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In these passages that we've just shared with you, there's the idea of being thankful for what God has done for us as a result of giving his Son as a sacrifice for us, for this unspeakable gift, as Paul refers to it. And so we are thankful for salvation because we are all lost without Christ and what he's done for us as a result of God's grace extended toward us in sending his Son. But I want you to think also about God's care and his leadership We need to be thankful that God cares for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we like it when people express their care and concern for us. It gives us that warm, we say, I guess, a warm, fuzzy feeling inside when we experience the care and the kindness, the consideration of brothers and sisters in Christ, and even neighbors and friends, when they demonstrate their care for us. Paul, along with Peter, makes it clear that we need to be thankful for the care that God has given to his people. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing. If you read that in the revision, it said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When we talk to God in prayer, there needs to be an expression of thanksgiving to God. And then he said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes as a result of our understanding what God has done for us, but the fact that he cares for us, he provides leadership for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul said, there is no temptation or trial taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation or the trial make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Whatever trouble, trial, tribulation come our way, we can rest assured that God cares, that he provides for us a means of escape. That's because he cares for us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, the writer said, let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Sometimes I think we tend to live in a state of fear. We live in a society today where there's danger from various sources. I just read a news item this morning. Two young men, one I think 11 or 12 and the other about 14, were in a van. The news item started out saying they were in a school parking lot, but school said no, it was close to the parking lot. They were shot, killed. This was about somewhere around between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. My first thought was, what are two young men doing out at that time of the morning? But that just illustrates to us the kind of society in which we live. We hear on almost a regular basis of these kinds of things in the society in which we live. I just wonder how much we give thanks, how thankful we are to God for the fact that he is our helper. And as a result, I don't have to be afraid of what someone's going to do to me. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't exercise caution, that I don't take precautions to try to avoid trouble, to avoid confrontations that might escalate into something very serious. Certainly, God gives us the knowledge, the judgment, the understanding to use in trying to avoid various situations. But at the same time, we need to be thankful that God cares about us enough that he will be our helper. And as a result, we don't have to have this kind of fear of the society in which we live. If through some unfortunate incident, through the anger or the hatred of some individual, our lives are taken, we just must understand that because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we have something far better to look forward to than anything that this life has to offer. We need to be thankful to God for that. Thankful that we can call God our Father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let that one sink in for just a little bit. We are called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That doesn't mean that people your neighbors and friends who are not Christians don't know who you are, but they don't know you intimately like we know each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, as being part of God's family. This is the love that God has showered down upon us, that we can be called the sons of God. There's a passage over in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 and 15, that says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The word Abba just simply means Father. So we cry, Father, Father, because we're sons of God. We don't have that spirit of bondage. Yes, there's a situation where we are slaves. Paul in Romans chapter 6 makes it clear that we are servants of righteousness. That's literally the idea of a bondservant. And so yes, there's a sense that we are bondservants, we're slaves of Jesus Christ. But we don't have that spirit of servitude, that spirit of bondage, to fear, because we receive the spirit of adoption. We can look upon ourselves as being children of God because we have been adopted by Him. As a result of our obedience to His will, He has grafted us into the good olive tree. And we understand that the vine does not bear the root, but the root bears the vine or the tree, whatever the case may be. We're part of Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to have that spirit of bondage, even though, yes, we are, in one sense, slaves. But we don't look upon ourselves as being slaves, as being in bondage. And we need to be thankful for that, that we can be called the sons of God. We can call God our Father. We also need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We talked this morning in our Bible class period about this idea of being God's family. And that means that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. In Mark the 10th chapter, there are verses 28 through 30. Notice what the text says there. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 28. "Then Peter began to say to him, Lord, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake in the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, the world to come, eternal life." Even though we may have to leave physical family, we have a spiritual family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul set the example in giving thanks for fellow Christians, fellow saints. As he wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, he said, "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you." Now, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, brethren, "always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Here Paul makes it clear the church at Philippi helped him in his efforts to preach the gospel of Christ. As he wrote to the brethren in Colossae, Colossians chapter 1 verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And so over and over, you can go ahead and read in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, the same kind of sentiments. We give thanks to God always for you all. We are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren. In Philemon's, the letter that he wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, there in verse 4, he said, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." Paul was very thankful for Philemon. And in that letter, he talked about the fact that he wanted to keep Onesimus with him because he would be profitable for him. But he was sending him back to Philemon because he belonged to Philemon. He was literally a slave who had run away and had been converted by the Apostle Paul. Paul sends him back. And he asked Philemon to prepare him a lodging so he'd have a place to stay when he came. But especially his thanksgiving for Philemon. And so we need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So now we sing a song. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. We have a relationship. We have a tie that binds us together that is greater than any blood tie that we can have in this life. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we need to be thankful. We need to be especially thankful for those who set the example of godly living that we can follow. Paul said, be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. As we look around us and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ and the kind of life that they are living, that is an example for us, we need to be thankful for that because it helps us to become stronger. We have so many, many spiritual blessings. But we also need to recognize the physical blessings that are ours. We have food. We are so bountifully blessed in this great country with so much. And it should remind us of God's loving kindness as we recognize just how truly blessed we are. You remember when Jesus took the loaves in John chapter 6 verse 11. It said when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When Jesus fed the multitude, he gave thanks for this physical food. And so should we. I dare say that all in this audience this morning, when you sit down to a meal that has been prepared, you are about to partake of that food, you give thanks for that food. In Acts the 27th chapter, when Paul was in a tremendous storm, it's called a Euroclydon. It was a very severe storm. And they didn't see the sun or the moon for many days. And as they were experiencing this phenomenon in Acts chapter 27, there at verse 33, the text said, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. In this dire situation, dire circumstances, where they had been without food for a long time, 14 days, Paul said, before they took this food, Paul offered thanks. And understand, this was in public. There's absolutely nothing wrong with bowing your head and giving thanks audibly, even when you are out maybe in a restaurant somewhere eating a meal. You give thanks to God. People see that. They recognize that you are thankful to God. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now listen. Which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. The things that God has prepared, we're to receive with thanksgiving. He continues, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Physical blessing, the food that we have. Not only that, but the food, the clothing and shelter that is ours. In Matthew chapter 6, we often emphasize verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. But I want to go back and read some of the context of that particular passage. Beginning back in verse 25, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, that means for this reason, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And notice it's in this context that Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things Jesus is talking about there are the physical necessities of life. And as he concludes in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now obviously Jesus is not teaching us that we ought not be concerned about food, clothing, shelter, but that we ought not be overly concerned about those things because God knows we need them. Other passages teach us to work to provide for our needs, and not only for our needs, but for those who are in need. Paul, right to the Ephesians, makes this very plain. Those who won't work, Paul said, shouldn't eat. So yes, we are required to work to provide for the necessities of life. But we need to be careful, lest we become so absorbed in these things that we forget to be thankful for them. We need to be thankful for our families. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. Children are an heritage of the Lord. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 through 4, actually begins in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers have responsibility of teaching and training their children. We need to be thankful for them, because they are loaned to us by God. Think of all parents provide for children, and think often of the love, the care, and provisions sometimes that children take for granted. We need to be careful. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4 that children are to requite their parents. That word requite means to repay. Children need to be thankful for what their parents do for them. As we think about our families, our children, our mothers, our fathers, all the extended family that we have, let's be thankful for them. We also, there are many other things for which we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the country in which we live. We live in the most wonderful, the most blessed country, as far as I know, on the face of the earth. I've not lived in other countries, so I can't speak from personal experience. But from what I read and what I hear and understand, this nation is the greatest place to live that there is on the earth. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, verse 16, in 1 Thessalonians, says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks, because we remember that all things come from God. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Someone coined the expression, we should have the attitude of gratitude. And someone else coined the phrase, are we humbly grateful or are we grumbly hateful? You think about all that we have been blessed with and recognize our need for giving thanks. Someone wrote a piece describing what would happen to the average American family if they were suddenly reduced to the annual income category of over one half of the world's population. If you think about this. Take away the furniture, saving a few old blankets, kitchen table, and one chair. Take away all the clothing except for the oldest dress or suit, a shirt, blouse, and one pair of shoes for the head of the family. Empty the cupboards of food, with the exception of a small bag of flour, some sugar, salt, a few molded potatoes, a handful of onions, and a dish of fried beans. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the water, remove the electrical wiring, exchange all the automobiles for one bicycle. Take away the house itself, and move the family into a tool shed. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs. Put the nearest clinic or hospital 100 miles away, and put a midwife in charge instead of a doctor. Discard the bank account, stock certificates, pension plans, insurance policy, and leave the family $5 in cash. Give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate to grow food for his family, one-third of which goes to the landlord. There's some in this audience that probably can remember those kinds of conditions. We've come a long way in this great country. We have so much for which to be thankful. Just how thankful are we? As we close, I want to share with you some things for which I'm thankful. And obviously the list is endless, but I want you to just permit me to make a few personal comments. I'm thankful for you, for your care for others, that you share without hesitation when needed, for loving friendship among brethren here. I'm thankful, even though we don't have a lot of young people here in the congregation, most of the time none, and still there are those in the congregation who are willing to prepare and teach classes. I'm thankful for the opportunity to work with you in the work of the Lord. You're patient, you're tolerant of me, you're supportive in helping me to grow and to be better as a servant of the Lord. I'm thankful for those in this congregation who give as they prosper, who give liberally, cheerfully, without which this congregation could not continue the work that it's doing. We have a number of programs of work that require quite a bit of expenditure. We have been supporting a number of men in the proclamation of the gospel. And it's really just amazing to me that this group of people are able to do the kind of work that we're doing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those who use their ability that God's given them. We have a number of good song leaders. We have individual men who are willing and able to serve at the Lord's table, to lead in prayer. Have men who are able and willing to present lessons from God's Word from time to time. Brother Bruce has provided me with a number of articles for our bulletin. I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for many friends in many places. God and I have been so blessed to be able to travel extensively throughout this country and to be with brethren in a lot of different places. And we develop friendships and relationships with people all over this country and some in other countries. I'm just very thankful for those opportunities. I'm thankful for a loving family, for a supportive wife, faithful children. No, they're not perfect. Neither are we. I've had faithful parents. God had faithful parents. In-laws who encouraged me to be a faithful Christian and faithful in preaching the gospel of Christ. But above all, I'm thankful to God for the new life that I have in Christ Jesus that results in my hope of eternal salvation, and I hope you are too. We are children of the great and beneficial God who has blessed us so greatly. We need to be thankful every day. Every waking moment for all God has done for us in providing a means of atonement for our sins and eternal salvation in heaven. And so let us be truly thankful for the ways that we are blessed in this country. And remember where these blessings originate. They come from God through His providential care for His creation. When in the beginning of time, God created this world, created man, woman. And when God looked and saw all that He created, He said it was good. It was very good. There's a lot of good in this world. Yes, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of bad. The devil's working overtime. But there's so much good in this world. And especially in being a part of the family of God, the spiritual family. We have so much for which to be thankful. Are we truly thankful? You really can't be thankful to God for his blessings in a proper way until you are really a part of his family. You've been added to the Lord's church through this spiritual birth. Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you've not been born again, born of water and spirit, you're not a part of God's kingdom. You're not a part of his family, the church. If you realize that you're not, we want to do our best to assist you in any way we can to become a part of his family. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we can do that today. You can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his family. If you have been added to his family and you have drifted away, become unfaithful in your service to him, and as a result, you're unthankful. You need to return to him, repenting of your sin, confessing them, and asking God to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for you in encouragement.